The media and our friends in the Democrat Party kept saying we needed new legislation. We must have legislation to secure the border. But it turned out that all we really needed was a new president.
All right, Lindsay, welcome back. Another Perigo's perspective. What do you make of that line from Orange Man Badass?
Orange Man Badass was in top form. I loved it. I loved that line. Possibly the best among many really good lines. The whole spectacle, just vintage Orange Man Badass, only better than ever. Loved it. And loved the fact that the Dem scum so clearly hated it. What does it take for them to acquire some humanity? Even when that kid, 13-year-old cancer patient, was awarded the honorary membership of the Secret Service and given a badge, they still sat on their hands and looked grim and glum. What horrible people.
And he called Elizabeth Warren Pocahontas to her face. Right?
Well, she said to his face that she wants the Ukraine war to go on. So he just gave it right back at her.
I've been anticipating this perspective, Lindsay, because I knew it would time with his address. So let's get on with it. Let's hear your perspective on this. Can't wait. Go.
Here we go then. Well, indeed, what a brouhaha, what a commotion, what a melee, what a maelstrom, what sound and fury, what tumult, what bedlam. What a delight. The globalist agenda exposed and its bluff called in broad daylight. A week that began like this.
Far more than a lot of people said they should have.
Have you said thank you once this entire meeting? No, in this entire meeting, have you said thank you? You went to Pennsylvania and campaigned for the opposition in October. Offer some words of appreciation for the United States of America and the president who's trying to save your country.
Please, you think that if you will speak very loudly about the war, you
can. He's not speaking loudly. He's not speaking loudly. Your country is in big trouble.
Can I answer?
Wait a minute. No, no. You've done a lot of talking. Your country is in big trouble.
I know.
You're not winning. You're not winning this. You have a damn good chance of coming out okay because of us.
Mr. President, we are staying in our country, staying strong from the very beginning of the war. We've been alone, and we are thankful. I said thanks in this cabinet, and not only in this cabinet.
We gave you, through this stupid president, $350 billion.
You voted
for your
president.
We gave you military equipment, and your men are brave, but they had to use our military.
What about West?
If you didn't have our military equipment, this war would have been over in 2 weeks.
In three days, I heard it from Putin. In 3 days. This is something
maybe less.
In 2 weeks, of course, yes.
It's going to be a very hard thing to do business like this.
Ended like this.
Earlier today, I received an important letter from President Zelensky of Ukraine. The letter reads, Ukraine is ready to come to the negotiating table as soon as possible to bring lasting peace closer. Nobody wants peace more than the Ukrainians, he said. My team and I stand ready to work under President Trump's strong leadership to get a peace that lasts. We do really value how much America has done to help Ukraine maintain its sovereignty and independence. Regarding the agreement on minerals and security, Ukraine is ready to sign it at any time that is convenient for you. I appreciate that he sent this letter, just got it a little while ago. Simultaneously, we've had serious discussions with Russia and have received strong signals that they are ready for peace. Wouldn't that be beautiful? Wouldn't that be beautiful?
So all's well that ends well. There'll be a minerals deal, a ceasefire, and then peace negotiations. But no, that won't be beautiful in the eyes of the Dem scum. They refuse to applaud a single line of Orange Man Badass's speech to Congress, except for this. The applause you hear in this clip is from Dem scum, whom Orange dispatches deliciously.
I'm also working tirelessly to end the savage conflict in Ukraine. Millions of Ukrainians and Russians have been needlessly killed or wounded in this horrific and brutal conflict with no end in sight. The United States has sent hundreds of billions of dollars to support Ukraine's defense with no security, with no anything. Do you want to keep it going for another 5 years? Yeah, you would say Pocahontas says yes.
What you don't hear in that audio is that after Orange says, Pocahontas says yes, Pocahontas says, you bet. Yes, she does want to keep the war going another 5 years. The Dem scum had been claiming that the operatic finale to the Trump-Zelensky press conference was staged, premeditated by Trump, Vance, and Rubio. Well, I submit that it was staged, but not by Team Trump. It appears that deep state luminaries from the Obama era got in Zelensky's ear on the flight to Washington and told him not to sign the minerals deal. Globalists of the ilk of Susan Rice, Victoria Nuland, and Alexander Vindman, who do want this war to go on forever. The Dems have a vested interest in painting anyone proposing a peace deal as rootin' for Putin, as appeasing an arch enemy of freedom and democracy, as if they ever cared about freedom and democracy. They have to pretend that it wasn't under Obama that Putin invaded Crimea, and it wasn't under Biden that Putin invaded Ukraine. They have to ignore that under Trump, Putin invaded no one. They have to ignore that Obama gave Ukraine blankets and Trump gave them javelins. They have to pretend that forever wars are not the fertilizer for their forever power and forever kickbacks. They are the actual enemies of freedom. I was impressed with this post on Feces' book, quote, "Don't forget the Democrats had a deep crush on the Soviet Union and have had since the 1920s as both closet and open Marxists. Ted Kennedy even wrote a letter to the Soviets to undermine Reagan. And Gorbachev, he was a god to Democrats. When the USSR fell, they were really heartbroken. Not only did it show that the utopian dream of communism was a sham, it also deprived the military-industrial complex of a foe to spend billions in arms to defend against. The only reason the Democrats hate Russia now is it is no longer communist. If Putin reconstituted the Politburo and declared communism as his motivating ideology, the Democrats wouldn't care if Putin took back the entire Soviet bloc." Unquote. And it's not as if Zelensky can hold himself up as the ultimate exemplar of freedom and democracy. He has banned churches and free speech and opposition parties and cancelled elections. You may say, oh, but this is wartime. Churchill, in wartime, brought the opposition into his war cabinet, as did Peter Fraser in New Zealand. Peter Fraser postponed the election due in 1941, and held it in 1943. He was returned to office and remained there till 1949. Zelensky won't hold an election because right now he wouldn't be returned. Ukrainians are not taking kindly to being hauled off the streets and press ganged into the slaughter. So Zelensky scuttled off to Europistan to be coddled by the likes of Keir Starliner, imprisoner-in-chief of anyone who commits a thought crime online. Starliner had the audacity to pretend at the White House a few days before Zelensky he was a free speech champion when Vice President Vance revisited his Munich speech.
I said what I said, which is that we do have, of course, a special relationship with our friends in the UK and also with some of our European allies, but we also know that there have been infringements on free speech that actually affect not just the British, of course, what the British do in their own country is up to them, but also affect American technology companies and, by extension, American citizens. So that is something that we'll talk about today at lunch.
Well, we've had free speech for a very, very long time in the United Kingdom, and it will last for a very, very long time.
Certainly
we wouldn't want to reach across US citizens, and we don't, and that's absolutely right. But in relation to free speech in the UK, I'm very proud of our history there.
Proud of our history there. The prime imprisoner of thought criminals in Britannistan, Staliner. Orange's Director of National Intelligence, Tulsi Gabbard, has also noted the hypocrisy of the enablers of Europistan in their protestations of being champions of freedom and democracy. I want to interpolate here that Tulsi is one of the few women on the planet who doesn't quack instead of speaking. Hers is the speech of a civilized human, as opposed to the emissions of a duck being tortured. You should be able to hear this at once when interviewer Shannon Bream, a quacker, asks a question in the middle of this clip. The difference between her quacking and Tulsi's mellow tones is obvious, I hope.
In the case of many of those European countries, that they're not committed to the cause and values of freedom. Even though they speak of this, we heard very clearly during Vice President Vance's speech in Munich, different examples of how these European partners and longtime allies in many cases are actually implementing policies that undermine democracy, that shows that they don't actually believe in the voices of the people being heard, and implementing anti-freedom policies. We're seeing this in the United Kingdom. We're seeing this in Germany. We saw it with the tossing out of the elections in Romania. So there's something fundamentally deeper here that shows a huge difference in divergence between the values that President Trump and Vice President Vance are fighting for, the values that are enshrined in our Constitution, the interests of the American people in our peace and freedom and national security, versus those of many of these European countries who are coming to Zelensky's side as he walked out of the White House, saying basically that they are going to support him in continuing this war and that they don't stand with us around these fundamental values of freedom.
Well, and they also, though, think that they're in more alignment, and they should be, with the U.S. when it comes to those freedoms and things you talk about. Certainly, those are not things that you would say that Russia or Putin celebrates or bestows on his own people.
That's correct. I would not make that claim, and it's clear that that's not the case, nor does President Trump. But that's not really what we're talking about here. We're talking about many of these European countries, and Zelensky himself, who claimed to be standing and fighting for the cause of freedom and democracy, when we actually look at what's happening in reality in these countries, as well as with Zelensky's government in Ukraine, is the exact opposite. You have the canceling of elections in Ukraine. You have political parties being silenced or even criminalized or thrown in prison. You have the freedom of religion, churches being shut down. You have political opposition being silenced. You have total government control of the media. We could go down a whole laundry list of issues that are against the values of democracy and freedom. So it really begs the question, as Vice President Vance said again in Munich, it's clear that they're standing against Putin. Obviously, that's clear. But what are they actually really fighting for? And are they aligned with the values that they claim to hold in agreement with us, the values that President Trump and Vice President Vance are standing for? And those are the values of freedom, of peace, and true security.
The quacking pandemic, I should note, is almost as much a threat to Western civilization as Wuhan or Putin. If you don't believe me, listen to the women employed by woke Sky Television to intrude on men's rugby commentary. That bespeaks or bequacks a civilization in terminal decline. The new Super Rugby series is producing, well, Super Rugby, marred only by having to press the mute button whenever these squawkers are on. If New Zealand wants to help banish Russia from Ukraine, the unendurable screechings of these shrill bimbos would be a lethal weapon to unleash on Putin's soldiers. Additionally, it would get women out of men's sports here, and that would be an advance. Prissy Chrissy Luxtwat, predictably, couldn't wait to virtue signal and join the I stand with Ukraine poseurs and grandstanders. I'm not sure if that was before or after he'd stood with Ramadan, but it was certainly after promising to arrest Netanyahu. Now, I am not one to gossip, but there's huge speculation that Prissy Chrissy Luxtwat has been told by senior Nats to shape up in 3 months or ship out. And you know there must be something to it when that ultimate student of backroom conniving, Matthew Hooton, goes further and says Luxtwat should resign now. Furthermore, Machiavellian Matthew told Duncan Garner what he thinks is the reason Lux is such a twat.
Look, I know this is terribly snobby and unkind, but he went to Christchurch Boys High, I believe, which is sort of an elite school. I went to Auckland Grammar, so I know those types of single-sex academic schools. And he was a complete nerd. He worked hard, model pupil, and he got a B bursary. Now,
that sounds awfully snobby, but
it is snobby. But you, but I didn't have a. The thing is, I mean,
you're saying he's thick.
People like you and I got an A bursary easily without working hard. But what I'm saying is, kids at Auckland Grammar who weren't in the top classes, who worked hard, it would have been impossible for them to get a B bursary. You couldn't get a B bursary. The only way to get a B bursary at a school like Auckland Grammar or Christchurch Boys or Wellington College, this is back in the 80s,
was to
be a bit thick and not show up. Yeah. Right? So I have to. I mean, I don't want to be unkind about to get a B bursary means your average is less than 60% in your final exams. You're 50%.
Yeah.
Duncan, school cert at Tamati High School, so I'm feeling much better about myself.
Well, you know, but this was Christchurch Boys, yeah. And this was being a nerd. And
yeah, he was very diligent, I understand. Yeah, front of the class.
Yeah, there were kids at Auckland Grammar who basically spent the year smoking cannabis and got A bursaries.
Then there's this from Duncan a couple of days later, revealing an email Prissy Chrissy had sent to a relief teacher concerned about trans-fascist propaganda in the classroom.
A worried preschool teacher contacted Luxon's office asking this. She writes, "What is going on in the education system? It's not okay. Why are you allowing this wokeness and confusion into schools? I've been a childcare reliever for the last 5 years and have had several kids below the ages of 5, even as young as 3.5, approach me in centres saying they're not male or female and that they are identifying as they, them, he, she. These are vulnerable young children who know no better and are only saying it because of what they've seen and heard from TV or older people around them. What is your plan to change this, Prime Minister? I, for one, know that whatever they say, I will fight against it as a caring woman of God." So that's how the letter ends to the Prime Minister. His answer will not satisfy established Conservative voters on the right at all. Or the thousands of parents in the middle. Indeed, it shows how he's miles away from their expectations and their beliefs, I think. He writes back, or someone in this office writes back, a staff member replies like this. Kia ora. Thank you for your email to the Prime Minister, Right Honourable Christopher Luxon. Christopher is a proud supporter of the LGBTQI+ community and wants New Zealand to be a country that celebrates and supports diversity, including our rainbow community. Ngā mihi nui. And that's from the PM's office. No. Just no.
I'm sorry. I know I awarded Prissy Chrissy Luxtwat the Goebbels Award last week, but he remains the leading contender this week too.
Hitler has only got one.
Why can't Prissy Chrissy Luxtwat be more like Orange Man Badass? To come full circle, that speech by Orange to both houses of Congress on Wednesday our time was his best ever, celebrating his greatest hits from a mere 6 weeks back in office, including the ending of trans-fascist propaganda from public schools, woke fascist DEI, the restoration of free speech, the banning of men from women's sports, the closing of the border after the Biden invasion, with the number of crossings last month at a record low already, the unleashing of Drill Baby Drill, the withdrawal from the evil Paris Climate Accord, from the evil World Health Organization, from the evil United Nations Human Rights Council, and much more. It was a salute to the restoration of the American dream, a dream hated equally by the Dem scum and lowlife rhinos, Republicans in name only, alike. All of Hollywood, academia, especially academia, the media, the woke judiciary, the filth, in short, freaked out. What a delight. In your face, filth.
Members of the United States Congress, thank you very much. And to my fellow citizens, America is back. Yeah!